What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chan Man V. Got a great show planned for you guys today. Topics kind of go as follows. We're going to be talking about money games, which has been kind of appearing on some of the streamers or some of the popular streamers you've been seeing, including our guest that we have today. We'll be talking a little bit about Magic versus Hearthstone, our guest again has a long history in Magic, and of course Trump has some in-depth knowledge about Magic too, so we'll be revisiting that topic again.
What is that?
And we'll be talking about decks, at least the latest decks that these guys have been running lately. Trump's been running some cool free decks, and then our guest here has obviously been running some very neat, very cool decks too. At the end, we'll be doing some Q&A as always, but we're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to give the subscribers to this channel, I guess, priority and try to do a little bit different than the whole Reddit thread, because I posted the Reddit thread pretty late today, so we didn't get like that much comments and everything in there. So that's what we're going to do today. Try it out. So subscribers, that's for you. That's for you. But I want to introduce the guys today. Of course, each and every week, my co-host, the mayor of Value Town, Trump. What's up? Oh, yeah, he's got the fan, baby.
What is that?
Love the fan. Did you not watch Seat Story
at all? No.
Oh, uh-uh. Man. That's classic Trump right there. That's classic. That's showmanship right there, man, the fan. But I want to introduce our guest also, Mr. Gabe Walls here, who's a former world champion Magic the Gathering, former professional poker player, and now he's endeavoring into Hearthstone. The G Walls for all you guys that have been watching his stream. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, what up?
Welcome to the show, man. First time on.
Thanks.
Excited to have you, man.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, why don't we just jump right into the topics here and kick things off with money games. You and Raynaud have been doing, you know, I think several of them now the last week. Maybe, was it two or three? How many times have you guys done it now?
We played a bunch, actually.
Oh, a bunch, okay.
We're playing best of fives, three wins. If you win with a deck, you have to stay with the deck that you win with. If you beat a hero, you have to then, as the loser, switch heroes, and you cannot play the hero that lost again in that match.
Yeah, so BlizzCon format for the most part, which is the most popular format right now. But you guys can pick from... I thought you guys were doing best of nine for some reason, no?
We were. Yeah. That seemed a little too much for him, he said, so we had to... And it's not quite the tournament format and structure, because these guys are some of the best tournament players on the planet, and tournaments are coming soon. So they want to practice, like him and Tides of Time both want to practice for those tournament structures. And it's a good outlet for them to practice and have the pressure that's similar to playing for money, but maybe isn't quite as high as stakes, but gets the format still and has integrity. So, you know, it's been a good tool to practice for that, mostly. Yeah.
Trump, what do you think of that format? What do you think of, like, would you ever play Gabe here for whatever, $50, $100, you guys, whatever you guys are doing?
No, not yet, because I only play when I have an advantage.
What?
There you go.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? You don't think you're better than...
Or no, you mean prepping? Top level constructed for some time, so it'd be foolish to go up against G-Walls right now.
Yeah, I've been playing the best guys. If he played for a week, I bet Trump would be ready to play. If he practiced the format, because I got to play with them on the ladder for a month, I don't know, several weeks. So if you wanted to play Trump in a week or something when you had time, I don't know what your schedule is like. You are right. It's a lot more fun once you get to think out like nine decks and then have like the battle. Because when I watched back when we played and you were like, I wonder if he's thinking to go back and make a new deck. I was just like, you need to calm down. We're not going to new decks. In a moment when we were like going to game, I think we were going to game three and you wanted to go back and build a new deck or like switch cards. And you thought I was thinking that when we had nine decks to choose from, I was just like, calm down. I don't want to switch decks. I don't want to go build another. I think it's better if we just had nine locked in.
Okay. Nine locked in. Okay.
And then he doesn't have to, because he's a deep thinker. So if you give yourself too many options, like your whole card pool, I think you'd go crazy. We'd never finish. So you need to, like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
because you take all the possibilities out. That's too much. That's too much. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know about
that. Well, I mean, to clarify,
all
I wanted to do was put in a deck which had, because I was thinking whether, like, we're talking about the previous game specifically where you just beat me with Handlock. I was thinking of running a deck with like two big game hunters and Tink Master and double hex or something like that with double earth shock. But I was like, oh, if I exit the screen right now and create that deck, then you might bring aggro warlock. So that was just the rules of that tournament specifically. And if I had one like on the sidelines, I probably would have put one in, but unfortunately I don't have one. Didn't have one.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I would have, if you would have done that, you're right. I probably would not have played Hamlock. I wouldn't have been that predictable. So yeah, you're right. That makes a lot more sense. See, that's sick, ladies and gentlemen. That's a sick human thinking like that, that I would think that. He's right, and that's what's sick. That's what, it hurts to be outthought like that. And then still,
the feels,
luckily,
man.
I had Gualox, so, you know.
Well, how long ago was this?
I don't know.
About a month, I'm guessing.
Was it a month ago? Okay, cool.
It was epic. It was an epic match. It was pretty sweet. It was a lot of fun.
So has anybody else been doing this besides you? So you've been doing it with Tides too? Is that right or no?
Yeah, I played Tides of Times once. We had an epic battle. I raced to the top of the ladder this month, which was super fun. And I don't suggest to any human with any real ambition to do anything other than play Hearthstone because it engulfs your entire being. I wanted to be the first to the top. But when you get to the top on the first day, you're only playing like two or three other guys that have been playing nonstop at the top because it pairs you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tides of Time and I were both ranked two at the very beginning. Like two of the first, I was in the lead for most of the time until Dang Zhu came out of nowhere and just blitzed me four games in a row when I was like at the top of rank two before everyone else and just beat me four times in a row with Shaman. It was epic. I had been up for like 30 hours. And then he got first legend. I got second, barely. Like, I think it was, like, 8 hours after him or something.
Yeah.
But I beat Tides of Time several times at the very end where we were both, like, two stars away from ranking up to level one. And then, it was, like, epic, you know, because it's, like, the plus one, minus one. And one time I beat him with Malygos in the Giants mirror. I put in Malygos because I knew he was going to play Giants. And Because the wheel was spinning for, like, 10 minutes sometimes. It was insane.
Malygos has got to work somewhere. I still feel like it's got to work in some deck in the near future. But anyways, like getting back to the money games. Other than Tides, Reynaud, and yourself, have you seen any other popular streamers doing it?
I've played Pordax a few times.
Okay,
I'm not sure he streams. I think it's good that the other side always streams, just because that way.
There's some viewing experience to it, right? Like for the viewers. They can watch both perspectives and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's just too much question raised when one side's live streaming and the other's not, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that raises the problem with online integrity. And I think if we want to have like a group of people that have integrity as like a playing body, that we don't want money matches happening without both sides being streaming. I think just for now, until there's like, you know, within Hearthstone, until they have something built for us. I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I mean, that's probably coming in the near future, at least the OBS mode. So Trump, what do you think about this in general? Maybe not so much yourself participating in it, but just streamers, you know, I guess playing for money, basically. You know, that's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. The inclusion of money always makes people want to try harder, and that's good because when you have something on the line, you breathe a little harder, you think a little more.
Yeah,
your decisions are a bit more. Sometimes they're a bit more safe. Sometimes you don't want to take that risk because, like, oh man, I'm going to lose money if I fail. So it pushes you to play at a higher level, I think. So that's good. Yeah.
That's cool. All right, so why don't we move on? Why don't we talk a little bit about Magic and Hearthstone? And I'm going to actually let Trump lead this off, Gabe, because since I know you're probably gonna have a lot to say on this subject. But now that you've played Hearthstone for months now, Trump, and you know, again, you played Magic for quite a bit in the past too. What are the biggest things that you notice? Plus, I guess positives and negatives about Hearthstone versus Magic.
Well, the first 2 months-ish. After Hearthstone, and I mostly still hold these views, I thought Hearthstone was far superior of a game than Magic. Because it had a few mechanics over Magic. And I also come speaking from Magic the Gathering Online a little as an experience whose interface is really clunky. But let's talk about Magic versus Hearthstone. So Magic, I found that oftentimes you would outright lose at the beginning due to this mulligan system, which is where the term, I believe, comes from that game. Is since the cost of mulliganing is so high in Magic the Gathering, where you will actually lose a card, and then you can keep mulliganing, but you keep losing a card each turn, which is a lot. With Hearthstone, you have this cool system where you can keep and hold cards, and to smooth out the mana curve, you also have... Well, I mean, you're guaranteed a mana each turn. I also don't like the magic concept of land. Mm-hmm. It facilitates this color wheel, which is really cool. But sometimes you just get screwed because... And that goes with mulliganing as well. Sometimes you get all these useless lands. You get too many. Sometimes you don't get enough, and then you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So that's another system I like, Hearthstone over. Plus, they have the hero ability, which lets you do stuff even if you have like all high-cost cards. Mm-hmm. So those are the pros of Hearthstone over Magic. Magic has a has been built up over the years, I think almost 2 decades, if not over 2 decades now.
Yeah, 94.
Yeah, 94. It's 2 decades, actually. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly 2. Mm-hmm. So... they have improved over the years. Like, if you compared the first set of Magic to the first set of Hearthstone, I'd say Hearthstone is better, but you have to look at 20 years of Magic versus the first set of Hearthstone.
Right.
And, of course, Magic is a deeper game for it. So Magic has that going for it. So that's my general thoughts.
Okay. Gabe, you being, obviously, former world champion, played Magic the Gathering for a long time. It's been a while now, right, since you've played Magic? Or is that correct?
When's the last time you played? Playing, you mean on the Pro Tour?
Yeah, Pro Tour, on the Pro Tour.
Because it's hard to quit at all very often.
Pro Tour.
It's, you know, it's an addicting... I don't think I played a Pro Tour in a few years. Okay. I'm not sure. I qualified for a lot of them and didn't go to them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which one I went to last, but I seriously playing Magic and trying to compete at the highest level, I'd say probably 8-9 years.
Okay. So, yeah, let me get your first thoughts on, I guess, the differences, what you like and don't like about Hearthstone versus Magic.
What Trump said is actually all really great stuff. First off, that explanation of the mana crystal solving, the mana screw mana flood, is in conjunction with the hero power incrementally increasing advantage throughout the game or decreasing disadvantage, which keeps the game closer even though it's turn-based. Which is neat and solves the mana screw flood problem of having nothing to do so often, which is really neat. And the mulliganing does the same thing in the ways that it keeps the game close by making all the cards similar in power level throughout the game for each turn that they're played. I mean, it's a really neat balance they have going and allowing... Let me think about this for a second. And allowing that keep mulligan system of keeping a few cards and... allowing you to curve out so consistently is a really cool way to balance the game out. And that is something that they kind of have solved mana screw and mana flood for, and is really neat. The biggest thing to me, and the depth, you're right, Magic is always going to have more. It has 20 years of history. There's no way it couldn't, is the entry to new players and how simple it is to start to play and how complex it can be on the deep end mm-hmm. once it's solved to the nth degree and how much room there is for more complexity. And that's a broad range. That's a big group of people you can hit. And that's something that Magic can't do. And that gets an advantage automatically to me because it's so hard to learn Magic now.
Yeah.
You can't learn 20 years of Magic when you're 15 easily, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think of the card pool right now for Hearthstone? Is it big enough? I mean, we just talked about the 20 years of Magic. Obviously, there's going to be many more cards. But as a starting point, what do you think of the card pool right now for Hearthstone?
I think Trump put it great in that it's a great start. And there's a lot of room and diversity there. And there's a lot of room for them to go places, but it's huge for the beginning. Yeah. I mean, the one-off system to add randomness and complexity to each deck building decision is great in a 30-card deck. I mean, that's awesome. That really changes how many different combinations there are in each game, which makes it feel like a lot more cards to me. I don't know, because, you know, you're talking about playing Black Knight or Harrison Jones, or maybe you put a Doomsayer in because you want to, like, super counter. I mean, it's just, like, there's so much room for these one-ofs to target so many different parts of what other people could be playing. I don't know. It seems pretty big to me, even though it's so small. And I can't wait to see what else they add, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think the game, I think we've talked about it just balancing-wise. Like, right now, it seems to be in a really, really great spot. You know, obviously not every class is balanced exactly the same, but it's in a really, really great spot, and what great timing since it just launched, right? Yeah. In terms of, I guess, really committing to Hearthstone, which it appears that you are right now, Gabe, why not go back to the Magic Tour, like Magic the Gathering Tour, and compete there? Because the tour, there's lots of big events, lots of big money events too, right? Still on that tour right now. So, you know, what's so compelling about Hearthstone?
Again, I'm after new competitors. I want to play new people. I've played all the people in Magic. They're the same people. I see them every day. I played them 10 years ago. I know how good they are.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I just want to play. I'm not going to get to play the smartest 15-year-old on the planet or you know, in whatever game I'm playing or get the opportunity to compete against him in Magic, because he's not going to be able to compete with these guys ever because they have 20 years of experience on him. And this game allows for an even playing field. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what's cool to me. And this is a way for people like Trump, who have been professional StarCraft players, to play as well. And that's cool. That's because it's new. It lets your intelligence shine instead of your history. And that's something I want reset, I think. I think that's cool. You know?
Trump, you've been a professional StarCraft player?
Is that what you've been? I don't know.
Is that right? Close enough.
Close enough. That's okay. Cool. He was,
I'm new to the internet.
Big. He was big. Yeah. Definitely in the beta for sure. Okay, that's cool. That's definitely definitely really exciting times, and it's always good to kind of get a, you know, to have somebody on here that's had so much experience in you know, a different TCG and have you analyze the differences, because you know, all of us here, all of us that watch Valley Town, are obviously very excited about Hearthstone, and we love it, play it every day, and that sort of thing. So it's really cool.
I love it.
Yeah, why
it's
don't
so
we...
addicting. I couldn't do it if it wasn't fun. Actually, I mean, my attention span, Trump knows. How long's your attention span, Trump? 5 seconds?
His attention span is
very, very long.
His is very long.
There you go. I guess...
What point was that? What
the game I guess that maybe I'm looking at it a different way. The game has to be really complex for it to entertain you. You've got to have a lot of uncertainty and direction to go. And if there isn't, then it's limiting and boring. Not an attention span thing. That's a bad example. Do you know what I mean? The game's really deep.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's constantly
the game is
fluid.
Deep, definitely. Yeah. And that's great, of course. Despite its seemingly fluffy exterior.
Yeah, and that's the magic of game design these days, right? Just with the influx or the new modern, I guess, revenue models being free to play, you know, into in-game purchases and that sort of thing. Appealing to the casuals is such a huge part, I think, for game designers now. And being able to add the element of it being very complex at the highest of levels that's like the magic place you want to be for a game developer. So the Hearthstone, you know, it's looking like it is achieving that right now. And that's like really, really amazing and really makes me excited. But all right, let's talk about some decks. Let's go to our deck. The deck portion of the show, which we're going to talk about Trump's decks first, talk about some of the free decks that he's been running recently and going to kind of, I guess, make his way all the way up to Legend again with. And then we'll follow it up with the G-Walls's, was it Priest, and a Warlock deck that he's been running in some of the money games recently. So some little nuances, and he can explain those once we get there. But all right, Trump, let's talk about the latest version of the Mage, because we've talked about the Mage before in the past, and then we'll talk about your Shaman deck. Is this the same Mage or no? This is a different Mage.
So what are
we
talking about, the Mage deck first?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Mage deck.
Your Final Form Free Mage?
Yeah, that one. So little differences, I think. Well, for one, you have a lot more you have a few more legendaries in this one than you did in the past. So why don't you explain the whole free thing again, so everybody understands it.
So on the Mage one, well, this is obviously not a free deck on the left. The Mage deck, this was the starting point. Actually, this wasn't the starting point I had. I had basically a Mage deck with a higher mana curve, and I was playing that, and then I decided to not necessarily prove something, but just more of Major's underrepresented, and
you were proving something.
I took a challenge to
come on,
play on a new account with the Mage to just represent my favorite class.
Yeah.
And through a bit of tweaking and experimentation, I finally came upon adding Argent Squire in to help defend against rush decks, mm-hmm. and let's see, and then just the right balance of defense versus late game. This deck on the left is what it would look like with legendaries added, with the notable thing that I would get rid of Nat Pagel for a second Acolyte of Pain as well.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the specific cards. And Gabe, you know, you can jump in whenever you want, but I'll start it off. So, Acidic Swamp Ooze. You know, I've been seeing it pop up sometimes. I've been seeing some Harrison Jones too, so I just want to get your thoughts on that, Trump.
It's a one of, and it's there to, if it's not against a deck with weapons, mm-hmm. it's 2 mana 3/2, not the end of the world. Right. But if it is against a deck with weapons, it's really good. That's it.
Well, in particular, which ones, I guess?
I mean, any of them, Hunter, Warrior, Rogue, Shaman, it's aiming at all of those.
Okay. And how many Doomhammers have you killed?
That's the question.
I'd say about 0.
What?
0? Oh, I feel
no,
so...
No. This really? Oh,
this deck that I ran was before the time that Shaman started running Doomhammer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I see. Okay. How about your Axises?
I don't think I've killed any of those either, but that is the dream.
Yeah. You're not living. The ooze is nice. Man. I mean, it's good. It's a versatile card. I think it gives a lot of answers and diversity to Mage that it needs. Because sometimes they just lose to an equipment out of nowhere for no real reason. And it is a nice, redundant threat. I have like a rule of 3 in my head in general for drops. Mm-hmm. At 2, I think 5 is really good. And if he's cutting that bagel, having a 5th 2-drop seems really good. Just to be consistent, because you want to know what you're going to get, I think, in the early turns of Mage. And I think the ooze helps with that. So, and you don't have to... I think you want to save Frostbolt a lot, if you can. Right, Trump, for like the combo 15 damage thing or like double fireball. I don't know. It feels like
more
that's
often than not the fireball and the frostball tend to be used early, just kill stuff. But yeah, it's an option. If you get like the massive spell draw, that's like a secondary win condition.
Yeah, so it's nice to have that ooze when you if you have an option if you draw it with. I'm just thinking about combinations. If you draw with ooze and frostball, it lets you play the ooze and keep the frostball and have that backdoor more likely, stuff like that. So there's a lot of value to having a 3/2 in your deck. You know?
Talk about the one-off Earthen Ring Farseer. I mean, you know, obviously it's a life game, but I guess why choose that one over maybe like another Acolyte or there's not that. I guess there's not that many things at 3. Is it mostly just because you wanted a 3-drop there, or was there another reason?
So the 3-drops, there is another Acolyte already since the Nat Pagels.
Oh,
now.
Right.
So yeah, there's 5 3-drops. I think it's... the Acolyte tends to be a poor play against aggro decks, so really against aggro decks, I only had the 2 Harvest Golems, and I was like, well, I might want another one. And the Earthen Ring Farseer happens to be really strong against aggro as well, so it's a good add. I've toyed with having 2 of them as well, and if aggro were more popular, I would probably have 2 of them.
It sucks when you cast it and don't gain, though, when you have to curve out with it. So that's the only thing I don't like. I like 3. I like the only one of them, because it sucks... Mm-hmm. I mean, you lose so much value, and it's such a hard play, I think, to know when you're at 30 or 29 to play it as a 3/3 or and heal only 1, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with Water Elemental.
Water Elemental is so good.
Because you want to heal it so often.
Exactly. So let's talk about Faceless. A lot of people run Faceless in different decks, and I was kind of wondering if you guys have general philosophies for Faceless.
I'll get on this one. Mm-hmm. The Faceless is... This deck is fighting a metagame that's a few weeks old, so that's a side note. Mm-hmm. The Faceless is could be really bad in a more rush-centric, aggro-centric format. In fact, it is a really bad card if the format is that way. But in the more facing off against druids and control warriors that I was way back when, which is just a few weeks ago, but
in Hearthstone, way back when, is a few weeks ago.
Then it was a really good card. Plus, there are some good cards to copy in here. Yeah. So that's really the call you have to make. Do you want to make your deck stronger against late game or stronger against early game? Mm-hmm. And right. The Faceless is a stronger against late game call.
Okay. Any other comments, I guess, Gabe, before we move on to the Shaman deck?
I got some questions.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
This is the final list of Free Mage, right?
That's not really... I guess it's not really
this. This is not
the
Free Mage.
This is the final form Mage. This is the final form Mage.
If you have all the cards, then this is something that I would have wanted to run a few weeks ago. Yes.
Okay, and what was the Sylvanas for?
The Sylvanas is... I think it's a replacement for Tinkmaster. Yes, that's my replacement for Tinkmaster.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe Faceless was.
That's an extreme. What? Why? Yeah. What is your? What is that? Because what about having two Facelesses, Tinkmaster, and two Polymorphs? Like that double, like three and two of the combo. Is that like a thing? Do you know what I'm saying? Because then you can like get their biggest guy and then cheap it or tink it.
Yeah, that's actually part of the loveliness of Faceless. You get the Faceless Polymorph or the Faceless Tinkmaster, which doesn't work anymore, but it used to work. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's your replacement now that Tinkmaster's been nerfed?
Or yes. And I don't think it even needs to be there, because Sylvanas is, again, one of those cards that's better against late game than it is against early game. So you definitely tune this to be better against aggro by cutting the Faceless and the Sylvanas and then adding something that costs one or two.
I love the Faceless. I was thinking about going crazy as your like answer to control, just having, when Tinkmaster was still good, I mean, just having Tinkmaster and two Sheep and then two Facelesses and having that as your late game plan rather than playing late game cards and then like super curving low to beat aggro. I don't know. I was thinking something like that.
Yeah,
that might be too extreme.
I was also thinking of something like that, why don't just play Priest then?
Exactly. Mm. I've seen Priest decks exactly like that. Mm. Dot Steel, baby, too. And
yeah. Man, Dot Steel is so much fun.
Exactly.
Oh. That's a thing. A magic difference. You can have your opponent's cards in your hand. Do you know what kind of power that feels like? You can never do that.
Oh, you can't do that in MTG? Okay, I didn't know that.
It's so much fun. Play it, beating your opponent with their cards. Are you kidding me? That's so much fun. You're like, take your two cards, cast them, and beat Gore Howling, someone that had Gore Howl. They thought the value switch in the game, when you thought steal a Gore Howl and start killing Armorsmiths with it, that they thought they had the game like locked up value-wise, and you just start Gore Howling them, it's like, wow, that's such a switch.
Well, it just creates this, you know, this additional permutation that, you know, isn't... I mean, for Priest, it creates all these combinations of things that you can do now, that, but the unpredictableness of it is what balances it out, right? Otherwise, the Priest would be amazing class. So in terms of Sylvanas, are you guys seeing it a lot more now? Because I think a lot of people's knee-jerk reaction to Tink was, oh, okay, time to bring Sylvanas back into the metagame now. Gabe?
Certainly been seeing a lot more six-drop legendaries. Bloodhoof has been...
Yeah, a ton.
He was played a lot, but he's moved up a lot in the rankings of legendaries. And I've been seeing a lot more Sylvanases and actually a lot more Berengeddens and Ragnaroses. Mm-hmm. That curve has become pretty prevalent. People playing that as their primary 7 and 8. I just have been seeing it a lot in a lot of decks. I mean, there's been a lot of Control Warrior, of course. But even in Druid, I don't know. What else? Paladin does it. You know, it's like pretty powerful combination now when you can't Tinkmaster Berengeddon and you only have one big game hunter, you know, to lead with that and then go into Ragnaros. So, I don't know. It's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, speaking of big game hunters, we're starting to see, like, definitely more big game hunters popping up. And even, like, the standard Druid deck, I've even seen, like, the double big game hunter even being run in some of them. So, that's another one that's starting to pop up again, which is, you know, definitely a good answer to things like Handlock and Control Warrior and decks like that. But okay, let's move on to the Shaman deck, Trump. And this Shaman deck is the free one, right? Yes.
This base deck is sweet, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet.
This is not only the free one, it's a super free one since I have only played about 4 hours on that account.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right, so let's explain the free thing again, because, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, there's some rares in here and stuff like that. So why don't you explain it one more time?
All right, so my definition of free is, and I take it to the extreme because I create a new account for these type of things, and whatever you open in packs is open game, although I had considered, like, oh, if I open a legendary, I might have to restart or something, since that's way too much. But anyways, you can use those. Certainly there's a crafting system. There's some nice bonuses that Hearthstone gives you when you're just starting out. So you can see, like, this deck, even though it's only a few hours of play and no money invested, has quite a few of the common cards and some rares already. And it hasn't even taken advantage of all of the freebies yet.
So have you been,
I'd say so far 4 packs have been opened, maybe 5.
Wow. Have you made a guide? I didn't look at that page really closely. Is that page a guide to step-by-step streamlined way of making, I guess, the most optimal free deck? I mean, because, you know, there's one thing to actually just look at the deck and, you know, try to copy it. But the actual process of getting there, right? A lot of people always ask, like, I just started Hearthstone. Like, what should I do? Like, what are the first things I should do, you know, maybe from an optimal standpoint? Have you made a guide like that yet, Trump?
No, I haven't, but
that's a good idea.
Probably
good
the one, best man. Way to do it is just that's play against all the basic AI once and then win against all the expert AI once.
Yeah.
Then you get a lot of the freebies, and then you can, like, enter a funsies arena, just play a few casual games. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, even as you're kind of leveling up through all the classes, like, which, you know, which cards have the most power, and then, like, you know, once you free up those, then you add these to the deck, and then, you know, it's kind of a progressive type of thing. But
I want to know how you got a Lightning cool. Storm, a Feral Spirit, 2 Hexes.
That's right, exactly.
2 Flame Tongue Totems. You really are blessed, aren't you? 2 Flame Tongue Totems, 2 Rock Fighter Weapons. He's only 4 hours in. You're treated like royalty already. This deck's good.
Okay, the Rockbiters, I think that card is free. It's part of the shaman stuff that they give you for free. So is the Flame Tongue, I believe. So is the Fire Elemental.
Jeez, and so is the Hex. Okay, and then you both Hexes?
Shaman good, man. Shaman good.
Yeah, the Hexes Lightning they Storm, give you for free for being a shaman.
2 Unbound Elementals? You said those? I don't know. This deck looks good.
Lightning Storms are rare, right?
Lightning Storm is a rare. Like, the only cards that I've actually crafted so far are a Feral Spirit, a Lightning Storm, and a Stormforged Axe. I think that's it. Oh, and 1 Azure Drake.
So you made the Lightning Storm before you made the second Feral Spirit?
There's only 1 Feral Spirit, right?
I actually opened the Feral Spirit, which is lucky, but like an 80 dust swing. Because any other rare, I would have disenchanted.
Yeah, it's not that expensive.
Plus 80 dust, it's nice.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, right? That felt good. but seriously, I mean, the double Feral Spirit, double Unbound Elemental, I just seem... I guess because you have so many 4s, you don't want the Feral Spirit, you want to curve out more.
He only has 1 Feral Spirit, man. What do you say?
He could have had a second one instead of
Lightning. Yeah, he could have had. Okay, all right. Sure.
I think the second Lightning Storm is get, actually, because it's so good against so much of the...
This is
lots of aggro stuff that people are playing.
This is better than your mage deck, in my opinion.
Certainly right now.
Well, his free one, his free mage deck, which isn't the one that's like
his final iteration of his free mage deck that he had when he got legendary. Or no, it's not better than that.
You don't think so?
Didn't that deck have a few legendaries?
It had 1, I think.
No, that had 0 legendaries.
Oh, at 0. At 0. Yeah.
1 faceless as the
top I thought
top
it had
end.
Pagel or something,
and that's optional.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think this is actually good. Better. I mean, 2 Fire Elementals by itself, that's an addition. That's a pretty additional great power there in this class.
1 Wind Fury would be really. I think you get a lot of free wins out of that thing.
Wind Fury's free, right?
Because it.
I think
a
Wind
lot
Fury's
of people
free, right?
Palantir, Doomhammer, or Wind Fury, but Wind Fury's the worst one, I think. But because it's just not a value card in a lot of. The games are a lot of value now because there's so much control.
Yeah.
So people are playing Alakir and Doomhammer more. But you could play Wind Fury and have like the same card, basically. I don't know. Do you need that combo kill or not? You just grind them out?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to try to grind them out as the philosophy with this one, as well as the free-to-play mage.
Okay, and just to clarify, as you're going and as you're, I guess, building up gold through quests and playing games, you'll swap out cards? right? I mean, that's why there's a final form and and that sort of thing, right? Okay.
Like, when this began, it was, I just jumped right into ranked with, like, a new account, so it didn't have any of the rares or any of the basic cards. And through playing on it, you get, like, a few gold here and there for the daily quests, through the freebies, and just keep switching better cards in.
Gotcha.
That's the loveliness of starting on Hearthstone. It's a cool experience because you get that experience of opening packs and having it matter. And it's like, oh man, I opened an Earthshock. I'm going to put that in my deck. It's amazing.
It's so the most common experience, you know what I mean? Like, I think these things that you've been doing with the free decks is probably what the majority of the players in Hearthstone are going to be experiencing, and that's why I think people are going to get the most out of this type of process and you know documenting it and that sort of thing. It's really, really cool. I had a question about this deck in general looks great against aggro, so you should just do well. You should do really, really well. What rank are you right now with it?
I got up to rank 14 yesterday.
Okay, cool.
Jeez. Grinding. That's hard work. You work hard, I gotta say. How many Gnomish Inventors do you cast to get to rank 15? I mean, 14, you said. Because that's a lot of, like, you're not on street. Are you on a bunch of streaks with this thing? In the ladder?
Yeah, I mean, the win streaks, you get some bonus stars from that. I haven't been playing that much. It's just 4 hours, so,
it's a good deck. Fast. Yeah, that's a pretty good deck. That's pretty neat, everyone. Shaman, follow that one. That was pretty cool. I like that better than your mage deck. It seems more powerful. Your mage deck seems really hard to play. You know?
Yeah, the mage deck, I think you getting a legendary of the mage deck was actually quite impressive, and I remember watching some games. I'm like, man, I would not have done that, and that would have been really bad, you know, some of the moves that you made when you were playing it. So definitely, I mean, so it was really, really cool you got there with that, and this one I think is even better. So Shaman might just be generally a better beginner class than mage, looking at it now. All right,
just
why don't
a
we...
lot of beef.
Yeah,
a lot of like good value,
exactly,
which is good for a player that's, you know, newer to the game for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's.
If you guys are picking something up, yeah, check this out. Sorry.
Let's move on to Gabe's cards here. Whoops. And
this is sweet. Right. Jesse's doing. My roommate is doing this right now. He's just starting the game, so I experience it too, just like everyone else. It's a lot of fun. He has 300 gold right now. He's saving up. He hasn't unlocked priest yet. He's really mad about it. You know, there's a lot of emotion there.
A lot of emotion.
It's a lot of fun to watch.
A lot of rage. That's awesome. Okay, so we're taking a look at Gabe's decks now, and it looks like we've got a warlock and we've got a priest. And you got it up? Make sure everybody gets it up.
All right, I have warlock.
It's the Gwallock.
V5.
Yeah, V5.
We're on the fifth iteration of Gwallocks at this point. It's been through. It's been a love hate relationship.
Love hate. Okay, so we talked a little bit about this deck. Well, you know, when you kind of gave me this deck, and you mentioned this had a lot to do with I guess what Reynaud, I guess in particular, was running in your money games. So why don't you explain a little bit of that? Because there are probably like three cards that are different than I guess your standard handlock. Those being Power Overwhelming, Crazed Alchemist, even, you know, Baron Geddon. So let's talk about some of those.
Yeah, sure. Actually, this is kind of crazy. So since I said this might be, yeah, okay. So let's
No Draxxus.
That one's. I've added and taken out Ragnaros so often now, based on what I thought he was playing, and Well, okay, so let me get everyone in my mindset real quick. I'm playing matches versus one individual, and we're playing with 9 decks. This is the format, right? We're playing with 9 decks. We get to choose. You lock them in, and then you go into battle mode. And then you play a best of five, and you have to win 3 times. And if you win, you have to keep the deck you're playing. And if you lose, you have to switch, and you can't play that deck again.
Right.
And the winner has to stay, right? So now you have to either – the first game is to get served. Right, so you want to play a powerful balance deck to get served. You want to get up 1-0. Because once you're up 1-0, then they have to play another deck and try to beat you. And if they beat you, you can then switch to beat them, and then it's 2-2, and then or 2-1 you, and then they switch to beat you, and then you switch to beat them, and you win, and they and you're up because it's all percentages back and forth.
So the game wins always and, very very vital.
Yeah, it's like tennis. Serve is everything. You know, you don't want to lose serve. So if you pick the first deck and it has a favorable matchup against a lot of what they're going to pick, you're in great shape as long as your other decks are tuned, right? And this is kind of what I'm thinking when I'm playing these money matches and trying to come up with my first deck. So I like to play what I'm most comfortable with because I think it's the one I'm most likely to get two wins out of. And I think that's where I usually want to start. I want to try to like press my edge and get ahead early. And that's been – I've really liked Handlock Giants from the beginning. And I played it I played the arena for 2.5 days, and I did like 30 drafts. I just went crazy on the game. And that's when I started playing it last month. That was the first time I played it. And then I started playing the ladder, and I spent like $200. Don't judge me, people. I'm not Trump. I had to get a cheat. I grind it out as well. I'm impressed. I'm humbled, but I can't do it. I had to get the cards. They're shiny. I wanted them. So I got cards. I spent like $200. I got a bunch of legendaries, and I built Handlock Giants with two of my friends, Adam Baker and Chris Anderson. And I started playing on the ladder, and I played it through the whole ladder. And in like 2.5 days, I was a legend. And that's like the first constructed I played. And it was just playing this deck over and over and over. So it changed constantly, right? So I'm now playing this kid with this deck, and I've got a bunch of options in my head. He's playing a lot of Hunter. He's playing a lot of Paladin, which is weirdly good against with Doomsayers, which is weirdly good against what I'm playing. He's playing a lot of Control Warrior. He's got his he's Raynad, so he's got his Murlocs, his Warlock aggro deck in the middle, right?
Right, the Zoo deck, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now he's playing Giants too, so he can pick Warlock.
Yeah, lots of difference.
Yeah, so it's tough. So I'm trying to build a deck balanced versus that and consistent. What I noticed was there wasn't a lot of Shaman, right? So that made me think Twilight Drake was really good against him right now. And this is like in real time in the last few days, you know, we're playing. So I went back up. I cut a Twilight Drake and I cut Crazed Alchemist because it was for Nat Pagel primarily. But with him having Doomsayer in his deck and me wanting to do one turn kills, I thought it might be good to add the Crazed Alchemist back to one kill Doomsayer and to flip a big Twilight Drake in conjunction with a Leroy Jenkins Power Overwhelming and be able to get some steel burst kills out of this Crazed Alchemist. And so I added it back in, and I added a second Twilight Drake. I took out the Baron Geddon, or the Ragnaros, because I also had a Ragnaros and a Lord Draxus, because the games tend to end quicker than that.
Yeah.
And these cards don't have a big impact later in the game, as they should. Like Ragnaros, he has Big Game Hunter out the wazoo, right? He's playing a bunch of Big Game Hunters right now. So I thought it wasn't as valuable, and I wanted to go more with the Twilight Drake hand. Strategy. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, Twilight Drake's always been a mainstay in the default Handlock or the general Handlock deck. So hearing you even possibly taking it out in certain situations, I think is definitely more suited for this type of match play type of thing versus the latter. But Trump, what are your thoughts on?
That was a really good explanation, and the amount of. Higher level thinking that's going on between you and Reynad is quite amazing, because never would I have thought that the purpose of Crazed Alchemist is to flip a Doomsayer in a Hunter deck. That this is madness.
Doomsayer in a Hunter deck, period, is like, whoa, interesting.
No,
man.
And Paladin. Doomsayer and Paladin.
I was going to say, I said he's a Hunter,
but
man.
It still is very amazing.
I don't think he's played Doomsayer and Hunter yet, but he's not that far. This kid moves around.
Yeah, Reynad tries everything. Yeah.
I thought I pinned him. I thought I had him in, like, Beatdown Warrior, Hunter, Murloc, Aggro, like, bad iterations of other control decks in a corner, and I was, like, beating him down in, like, our matches, you know? And he just, like, moved over into Paladin, and I'm just like, what is going on? Doomsayer, Equality, and all my decks are built to beat, like, Murloc, Aggro, and he squeaked out some percentages, he won some flips. And now, for the first time, I'm actually down a unit. I'm down one match, which I've never been down against him.
Down a match? What do you mean? Like, overall, like a total, in total?
Yeah.
What's the record between you guys?
I think it's like 6-5 or something now.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Wow, you guys played 11 times? Holy smokes.
Something like that, yeah. Nice. I don't know for sure, but it's something. It's a lot. We played a lot of matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty fun. Creating a rivalry.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What?
Creating a rivalry.
That's just fun. It's just it's just competition. Like, playing Trump was a lot of fun. He's doing the same thing, but we don't know each other that well, so we're not, like, going crazy. But he's, you know, he's just, like, thinking of extreme overreactions and wishing he had him in his range.
Yeah.
He's like, I want 2 Earth Shocks, 7 Lightning Bolts, 14 Hexes. I want 3 Tink Masters. And I'm going to kill your giant. And then I'm going to be like, well, all right.
Well, I guess let's talk about one thing that's not in the deck that I think generally people have always, I don't know, at least recently has really thought that should be in at least this Handlock deck is Draxxus. You do have Alexstrasza, which has, you know, half of the effect of Draxxus, but, you know, Alexstrasza has the ability to damage too. Talk to me about the decision not to have Draxxus and maybe why you have Alexstrasza versus Draxxus.
So people have played a lot better as this month has gone by against Handlock over time. They're getting significantly better. Mountain Giant and Molten Giant are much easier to play against now. They often have an answer to Mountain Giant. They manipulate your life total.
Yeah.
Don't attack when you're at 16 so often to make sure you can't get an efficient turn and things like that. So the more dead cards that I added to my deck at the top end of my curve, the less likely it was that I was drawing good combinations against all those beatdown decks that I had to draw all my early game against early and not tap too much to be able to win. And I would fill my hand up with Mountain Giants, Draxxuses, Alexstrasza's, and I was playing Ragnaros for a while, and, you know, I'm playing Baron Geddon, 2 Siphon Soul. There's a lot of high-end costs that if you draw too many of, you just can't accomplish trading, which is all you really want to do against those early mid-range decks. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a cut. I had to make, like, some tough decisions, and I felt like Draxxus was the one doing the least when I was playing Baron Geddon. And the way people were playing against my life total, I wasn't able to use it as such a good resource and get down to like 5 and 3 anymore as I was before and then get like 12 life out of it and equipment attack. That was way different in a big swing. But now it's like you're at 14. I know you have Alexstrasza and Draxxus in your deck. I know not to put you at 8 and let you gain a bunch and get value. And, you know, so it's a lot different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just worse, I think, now. That's all.
It's definitely more of a passive play, you know, Draxxus versus, you know, let's say Alex, where you throw down that 8/8 on the board, so you have presence, right? Yeah, that's interesting. Trump, any comments on the Warlock, and we can move on to the Priest. Any last comments on the Warlock? Anything?
Would I be accurate, given you would not run this particular Handlock version on the ladder?
Okay.
Right. I wouldn't. Definitely not. I don't think I'd ever play 2 Twilight Drakes on the ladder. I think Shaman's such a bad forced play against Shaman that it changes the percentages a lot. And you're right. I don't think I wouldn't play Crazed Alchemist, for example. I would play I would play the burst damage though. And well, I twisted a Canadian pro who's trying to beat Savjeej in 3-2 in the tournament yesterday. I don't know. He's won several tournaments. He's the one that brought this to my attention. He beat me in a tournament with it. And the combination is so good. Leroy Jenkins, power overwhelming it, and then facelessing it for 20.
Yeah.
And then only having to risk one Soulfire so often instead of having to take the other 14% of sometimes discarding or, you know, the double Soulfire kill at the end. Mm-hmm. It's been really good. And it also works well with, I think I'd play a second Shadowflame, Trump. I don't think I'd play the Crazed Alchemist.
Let's rewind a little bit back to the Twilight Drake comment. Against the Shaman, for sure, it's like not a good card, right? Against Shaman because of Earth Shock, but Shaman's not crazy popular right now in ladder. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Twilight Drake's pretty good against every other class. Is that not right? I mean,
yeah, that's right. Certainly, I just think your percentages against the field are really good, and the one with this many giants because you can so aggressively life tap against so many of those decks. And I don't think against Hunter.
Okay,
I don't think against Hunter it increases your win percentage enough to warrant the slot over something that's better against all those other decks. I just want another card that's good against Shaman and good against the field. And I think Twilight Drake is the worst. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, Trump, maybe it's too much.
What do you think about Twilight Drake in his comments?
I'd run it. I think it's really strong against non-Shamans. And I think Shamans aren't enough of the field.
Yeah, because you can get it taunted, you know, with either Sun Fury or even Argus, and it just lives a turn, right? And then you get the option to do those. It's crazy good against the the aggro decks, typically. But I kind of see what you mean, though. You could replace it with something more, I guess, direct removal or something in that regard.
I just hate doing more to it and then it getting silenced. It's like one of my worst feelings. Do you know what I mean?
Silence isn't huge, though, right now. You know, it's like, what, Keepers, Earthshocks. That's about it, right?
Keepers? I guess. And then, Iron Beak Owl's in a lot of the Hunter decks.
Oh, it's in the Hunter, too.
Hunter's Mark is like silencing it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So they have like three answers, you know?
Yeah.
Kinda. And Silence doesn't do anything to the 8/8s unless you taunt them, you know, but I don't know. I haven't played that many games, really. It's mostly theory.
Okay, let's move on to the Priest. And getting a general look at it, Trump, I'm going to get your opinion on it first before Gabe explains it. It's got a lot of goodies in it. I guess that's kind of a general comment about Priest. I actually really, really like the Priest deck, even though it can be hard to win with it sometimes. But I have the most fun playing the Priest deck these days. So what are your thoughts just looking at it, Trump, just first glance at it?
Man, I've tried to build a Priest deck forever, and then it keeps coming back to me that, oh man, I'm just going to die against aggro of any kind, Zoo, Hunters, whatever. Mm-hmm. I look at this deck, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this deck's just going to die to aggro. So I hate this deck. that's my initial thought.
That'd be really awesome. Okay. Comments on that.
I'm hurt. Yeah. I'm hurt. Okay, so this deck is not good against aggro. For the record.
Yes.
This deck, I did beat Hunter. I did beat Raynad when he was playing Hunter with us. I beat someone in a money match when they played Hunter with this Priest deck.
Wow.
You can get a draw. It is an outlier. You do have to play the 4/7. Right? You have to have coin. The outlier situation is absurd. You have to have coin in general to have a real good win percentage. Coin Northshire Cleric on turn one, and on turn two play Blade Master and Circle Healing kind of thing, you know. It's not good. I don't admit that it's good versus the field, but we're talking about tournament structures now, so I think you can narrow what your opponents are playing a bit, and if you can, I think you can get a significant advantage ignoring a portion of the field, right?
Well, this
is my ignore extreme beatdown deck.
So this because I was going to say, like, if this is one of those tournament format decks where you can put it in against a later game deck, then it looks fairly good. Because I would give the favor to this and most against control, since you've got so many big guys and you got the big mind control at the end. My comment was more on if you were to face the field with this deck, I think it would do poorly.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
How does it do against... So the one card that really stands out to me and I guess leads me to the question is Harrison Jones. Like, is this a counter warrior deck, or does this actually do well against something like a Miracle Rook? Because it's obviously bad against Hunter, right? I'm thinking of weapons here. And
yeah, it's good. It's
I
good
guess
against it's
a Shaman too, right? The Doomhammer. Yeah.
Yeah, it kills Doomhammer. It kills Draxus's weapon. It kills.
Draxus too. That's true.
The Assassin's Blade, which is often the way that Rogue could be able to kill you through your hero power.
Yeah.
And so it does all those things effectively. Mostly it trades as a 1-for-1 against hero, against rogue. It'll trade a 1-for-1, obviously, a lot. Your deck's basically incremental advantage.
Yeah.
You don't have any big game blowouts. So this card just is a good 5-drop that often cantrips and saves itself, certainly against Paladin. I'm playing against a lot of True Silver Champions right now. It's in my head. He swept me twice with Paladin after I beat him twice. And so, like, he, like, switched to Paladin and I threw 3 decks at it and couldn't beat it, you know? Like, so I'm really obsessed with Harrison right now as an overreaction. And that's one of the reasons it's in a lot of my decks, because I want a lot of shots of beating him. I think I'm, like, 55% in a lot of the matchups and I'm losing. So I just have to give myself 55 free times. So I think Harrison Jones helps against True Silver Champion a ton, right? Because they use it once, and then it's a great follow-up, and they can't just kill it, and so it's a big tempo swing. And Fiery War Axe, you often kill the second part of. He plays it, uses it once, and then you'll often get that. You can't wait for Gore Howl that often against the Warrior deck. It is great against that, of course, and I have killed quite a few Gore Howls. But a lot of the time, you just have to take their War Axe because they sit on it, because they don't have a great trade in the middle of the game, and then you can get it, which is cool. And, you know, a card plus a 5/4 is always really good.
Yeah. No, I've been starting to run up some, too. It's been pretty good. I've been kind of... I was telling you earlier, right? Just kind of interchanging Black Knight and that, depending on what seems to be prevalent on the day. I guess it's been how it's going. Talk to us a little bit about, I guess, Shadow Madness. And because I've gotten Trump's opinion on Shadow Madness in the past, but in what's your thoughts on it?
I think Shadow Madness and Cabal Shadow Priest are a bit redundant in what they do. And they just do it in a bit of a different way. So Shadow Madness is like board control, right? I'm just trying to have a card that I can draw or cantrip into. Similar to, because I'm kind of I'm relying on this as my card drawing engine in a way. So I'm looking for a card that I can draw into that can deal with two of their threats against the mid-range Warlock deck some amount of the time. But I don't want to have the I'd rather have two Cabal Shadow Priests is what I'd like to have. But I've been finding that my hand got clogged with six drops. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to find an alternative option that would also let me hero power, because often I was so far behind that I would need to do like three things to live for two more turns.
Yeah.
And I didn't want the redundancy of having another six drop and not being able to hero power as well. And this gives me, just lowers my curve a bit and works well with a lot of, like on this on turn six, or sorry, Achuni, you're not looking at my screen. Achuni Soul Priest, the 3/5 burn guy on six, if you have that out already, and then you Shadow Madness something, you can kill like a five by burning it and using their creature. So there's a lot of combos, even when they only have one guy, they play another guy. It just works well. It's a balanced tool that's hard to play around. And you don't want to get too predictable, I think, is one of the things you want to make sure of in this format. You don't want to end up... It's different than Magic, where you're just trying to streamline your strategy a lot of the time. Like, if you're combo, you just want to set up your combo. You want to, like, do the minimum to live and set up your combo, you know?
Yeah, given that it's a... You know, this is more like an anti-aggro... I mean, not anti-control type of priest deck... Does Shadow Madness work well for you in those control decks? Are there a lot of targets there?
Yeah, it's surprising. For example, you know, like Control Warrior, they often play Frothing Berserker, Armorsmith, etc., and they can get you down really low and change how the game's played out. They can play Baron Geddon when you're at 15, for example, into Ragnaros, and not even need to set up Alexstrasza. And if you let them do that, it helps control the pace of the game. With those cards, like doing that small damage, Cruel Taskmaster, for example, against Warrior, all those cards, you just want to, like, you play a guy, and then you just want to use it to trade with their guys, because you don't have, like, it's like giving your guy +2/+2, and their guy -2/-2. Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Any other comments, Trump, or any questions, Trump, about this deck?
I just, actually love Shadow Madness. Like, I felt like it was trying to justify the one in it, but I would almost always run two in every priest deck just because I think it is that good.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I think I was playing too many times against other decks and ending up with them dead in my hand, and that's why I stopped. Because I liked it too. I started with two. And then I guess it's it ends up clogs your hand a little too much sometimes. You know, I don't know.
Oh, actually, one other card that I want to ask you about. Mass Dispel.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about it.
Stealth is gone now.
All right.
Gadgets in the stealth, no more.
Oh, I have a lot of 4/5s. Yes, that's
true. 4/5, 3/5, Blade Master. So it's a good answer to Gadgets in stealth. And it's actually really good against mid-range Warlock. In the middle of the game, you're fighting for board control. To take away all of their buffs is a pretty powerful effect that they don't often see coming. And then oftentimes you can get a Twilight Drake. Cheap, and that there's a lot of Harvest Golems, so it's always pretty good against that. And it's just a value play. It helps. It goes well with your hero power, because gaining life and getting value out of their creatures just kind of works well together. It's a nice synergy with the rest of the deck.
It's so passive, though. Like, you know, given, like, you're talking about the board control Warlock, for instance, right? Yeah, you get rid of their buffs, but you're basically passing for a card draw, maybe a hero power heal there, right? And just passing on the board. And that can be pretty rough, right?
Yeah, tons of times it's just bad. You know, there's plenty of boards where it's not going to do anything.
Gadget's amazing, hopefully, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's just part of it, right? But hopefully, especially with such a volatile card, but hopefully you've gotten some sort of board built like a 3/3 against their Shield Bearer or something, and you can get like a lot of value shutting down the Shield Bearer and then giving attack.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you
mean.
Stuff
like that.
Yeah.
So it makes up for it when it's good. It's really good. And when it's bad, it's just... You know, what were you going to win with in this slot? Another Shadow Madness, okay, sure.
Right.
But can you justify that versus Combo Rogue versus Shaman? Versus, it's like, I love it. I love it.
Trump, what are your thoughts on Masters spell? I've never asked you about it, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Masters spell, it's a card that I don't think I would have ever considered running, but I like the explanation on it. And it's good not to be too predictable. You bust out the Master Spell, it's the card they never see coming. That is very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has its uses in the perfect times. It's a card you would never run two of, but the one of, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Spicy. Right.
Cool.
Spicy meatball. Trump can appreciate a spicy meatball. He crabbed someone, I heard.
Yes.
You're crabbing people? What are you doing?
Crabbing people. Oh, man. All right, so why don't we move on, and we'll do some Q&A in just a second, but I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll set up a Q&A. And again, guys, subs are going to get first shot at Q&A, so we're going to go subscriber mode only for a second and see what kind of questions we get from them. Otherwise, post your questions here. If the subs don't have any questions, then we're going to take questions from this thread, which don't have any questions on it right now. So go ahead and start posting some there. But we'll be right back, guys, on a quick break. So
I can walk around and go to the restroom and stuff. Yeah.
Hey guys, we are back. Going to be taking some questions now from you guys. Let me change this to Q&A real quick. And again, we're going to be doing subscriber questions first. Kind of want to do a little bit of something for the subscribers, and I'm going to try this out. So Timbler asks, what do you think is the best card in the game? And I think Trump and I have chimed in, but Gabe, what's the best card in the game in your opinion?
Well, 3 days ago, I said Mana House Millstorm. But I think that was an overreaction.
Really?
I think that was an overreaction to how much nerf I thought Nat Pagel had gone through. So I don't think it's that anymore, because I thought it would be the best turn one in the game if you could overload big creatures throughout the entire game and lead with Melthouse. They had to use their premium removal, and they just couldn't keep up, I thought. So I thought every run out would start with that guy, would be drastically better than every other.
Okay.
But that was because Nat Pagel and Teakmaster had gotten switched. Now, oh man, the best card in the game.
Man, it's
so brutal.
I'm still trying to recover from Millhouse, from your Millhouse comment. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I crafted it, everything. I think it might be Ragnaros.
That's Ragnaros, which is, was it? Ragnaros and...
I think it might be Ragnaros or Baron Geddon.
Oh, okay. Trump. Your thoughts on, I guess, the Millhouse comment first, and then, I think we all are in agreement that Rag is, like, probably top two, at least top two legendary. I don't know about overall.
No, I'm not in agreement with that.
Okay. Oh, really? Not top two legendary?
No,
I thought when we were doing the legendary show, it wasn't. Well, whatever. What are your thoughts?
That's Arena.
Oh, that's Arena. True. That's true.
Ragnaros sucks against aggro, for example.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, we just had a big talk about not having it in the Warlock Giants deck. Like, having it and not having it, it's like, it's a major decision.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have to give grudging respect to Flame Imp as the best card in the game, since I love control so much. It's a 1-mana 3/2. That's what gets the snowball rolling, and then you die too fast to recover from it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
My other, I didn't think about class specific, but my other would have been Soulfire, which is basically the same thing as Flame Up, because they are like a combo of absurdity and board control.
Yeah, I mean, Flame Up more scary than Soulfire for me, just because it's a consistent 3, and the decks I usually play will often take 9 damage from it, and that's like the beginning of the end. And a lot of the decks are just... You need to craft them in order. Oh, I forgot. The best card in the game is Unleash the Hounds. What am I thinking?
You already said Flame Imp.
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Okay, so
we don't talk
one
about
A, Hounds, one A right. And one B. Okay, so talk about
we
Unleash.
Don't talk about Hunter. It's like Fight Club. Let's just make a new rule.
What's wrong with Hunter, man? No. What's wrong with Hunter? I always have my love for Hunter.
They have one strategy, but it's like the second best strategy there is. Straight burn, right? They have one strategy, and they're like the second or third best undisputed, and it's just frustrating because it's not that fun to play against. You know, it's not that complicated of games, I don't think.
No, it's not.
So it's not that fun, and everyone can play it and win a lot, which is great, but I don't like to talk about it when we talk about great cards, because I think you have to think in a factor of sweet card, too. Do you know what I mean? Like, sweetness factor, does that factor in at all, Trump? Is there any sweetness factor?
I'm a cold-hearted statistician, and I'm like, man, when I see turn one Flame Imp, my chances of winning the game have gone down. And when I see Unleash the Hounds, my chances of winning have usually gone down.
I see.
Wait, what do you mean by sweet? What do you mean by sweet? It's pretty sweet when you throw down a Leroy and then you throw down a Leash. So what do you mean by sweet?
Well, how sweet is it when you play for Ragnaros and look at the board? How much has your win percentage gone up after Ragnaros comes into play and activates? Because that's similar. How often does Baron Geddon give you 25% that you didn't have before you played it, got a 7-5, and did 2 to everything? So, you know, there's another way to look at that, too. It's like, how much more can you increase winning by, mm-hmm. as opposed to how much can you decrease losing, right?
Yeah, sure.
So that's like sweetness factor.
Oh,
it's not just like straight negative EV. It's like there's also a significant amount of increased win rate when you play Ragnaros successfully, you know? So, I don't know. I see what you're saying. Flame Imp is,
Value-wise, Flame Imp is very high. That's for sure. I mean, there's no question about that.
But, yeah.
Okay, so we got basically Baron and Rag from Gabe and then Flame Imp from Trump. Okay, good deal. Let's see. What's next here? Style, exactly.
They're all insane cards. I mean, his makes a lot of sense. I can't even dispute what he said. It does start the snowball the best.
All right, so Cal LOL asks, what's the most stable hero on the ladder right now? Stable.
I think Hunter.
Interesting. There's no fluctuation to Hunter. So I think from the standpoint of stable, that's probably right.
Is there a different way we could say stable to answer that question differently?
Maybe something that doesn't need to Hunter's just not going to change because it's just completely, you know, it's like there's nothing they're going to modify much except for maybe tweak the amount of damage, amount of explosiveness, right? So, yeah, so from the standpoint of stable being something that's not going to change over time, I think that one's probably it. What do you think, Trump? It's got to be one of the aggro decks, right? They're just not going to change.
I actually do think it's one of the aggro decks. I think it's Warlock. I think Hunter is actually very unstable because you can build decks to squash the Hunter, and that's what makes it unstable. You see periods where hunters are popular and periods where hunters are all but died out, and that sort of is the cycle of how many people are running the anti-hunter cards.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, actually, Nimsh has a question. To Gabe, would you consider playing ETC in a competitive event with money on the line?
I don't know what that is.
ETC? Torn Elite. Chieftain.
Yeah, Elite Torn Chieftain. It's that card that they gave away for folks that went to BlizzCon. I think you can craft it yourself now, right? Everybody can craft it, I think, at this point.
I play it in an event? Wait, what is the question?
Would you ever play it in a competitive event for money?
What does the card do?
It randomly summon. Okay, he's a rock star. Right,
he's
a rock star. No, he seriously is. He's a rock star Torn that he throws down. He like strums his guitar and then like a random unit. What faction is it? Trump again? What faction is it? A random
horde.
A random horde unit.
Yeah, the dark comes side.
Comes on the board. So.
I think Gabe has never even seen the card.
Dude, you have to see the card. I've seen a 2-2. I've seen a Merle. Like, it gives you a card, right? It gives you a card that's a...
In your hand?
Yeah, in your hand, and it does different things.
Okay, and the card is a warlord, a horde character.
I haven't finished. It also gives your opponent a card, too.
It gives your opponent a card, too.
Yeah, gives your opponent a random ETC card, and you get a random ETC card. So... Like, imagine Ysera. You get, like, one of Ysera's cards, like, each of you guys. So, it's like that. And it's a random one, too. So.
Okay, I think I read these. I think I read all these. Is it, like, an 0-1 that draws 3 cards if it lives or something? Those things?
Is it 3? I know there's a Murloc that summons, like, 4 Murlocs.
You're thinking of Gelbin. Mechatork.
Gelbin.
Oh, yeah, 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 not Gelbin. No, no, that's not Gelbin.
If someone paid me more to play with it than I would get for winning or losing whatever expectation I would decrease in losing the match in front of me, I would play with it.
Okay. The reason Nimsh asked it, because he actually ran it at IEM this past weekend.
I believe it was pride for him.
But he didn't actually play for money. It wasn't for money, though. It was just for, it was for pride. But that's why he's asking the question.
Wait, what? No, it was for money.
Was it for money? I didn't know.
It was a tournament prize pool.
Was there? I didn't know IIM had prize for the Hearthstone section. I thought they were just playing for those fun, those cool looking trophies and stuff. But okay, so it was for money. So
he's embracing his inner RNG. Yeah, that's nice.
Exactly. No, it was style, that's... man. I appreciated it.
Yeah, viewer. I like your style, bro. I don't know if I have the cojones.
Oh, it's 2K. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Congrats to Nimsh from that. But Larwood, he asked, is the card text on Naturalize still destroy a minion, next turn lose the game, or has it become a necessary evil with the Tinkmaster nerf? Trump, I'll throw that one to you.
Well, I don't like losing the game, so I tend not to play Naturalize. I think the Druid has enough answers. Like, they actually have zero ways to hard remove something now, but I still don't think you need Naturalize. Just rely on your minions to remove stuff, really.
Okay.
You can't just rely on your good looks to remove big taunt creatures, Trump. Sometimes Naturalize needs to come into play. I think that it might be time to bring a Naturalize in and a lot of Druid combo decks. Like Token Druid, I think maybe should play a Naturalize. I agree that it's nowhere near Watcher Druid's caliber of attrition-based strategy. Mm-hmm. Nor should it ever enter that arena. But I think the Token Druid deck might have a place for a Naturalize. I don't know. And some of those combo turns, I feel like you might be able to get rid of the one big taunt and win on turn 10 with a combo.
Is it better than an owl, though, which is just one extra mana? Achieves pretty much the same thing. If you're talking about killing him that turn, right? Like buffing everything that's on the
it's
board.
It's about turn 10.
Oh, turn 10. Okay, sure. You can't.
Yeah, so it's like. Yeah,
you're right.
And then you play a Gadgetzon too, so it's another redundant spell. You know, if it's not as bad if you cantrip off of it, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, that's significant. Sure. So I think it might. I played it a few times. I don't like it yet. You're right. It's pretty volatile. It doesn't get me out of. If I'm behind on the board, it sucks. It's really only a combo card. But it might give Druid, if they need one turn kills, it might be the good way to go. I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. Timbler asks, "What?" Well, I'm just going to go through, I guess, one from each of the subs here. Oh, actually, Timbler's already gotten one, so we'll go down to. Let's see, saving your life, gaming. Oh, that's not a question. Okay, Martzito 13 asks, "Guys, can I see again, Priest Red Eyes?"
It's what? Blood Eyes.
It's Blood Eyes. Yeah,
it's a 15-year-old fan of mine. He's Canadian. I've won a lot of the hearts of the Canadians. He wanted me to play Priest. We played a grudge match like a month ago for fun, but I had like 5 viewers. And in the last game, he was playing Priest, so I built all legendaries so he could steal all my legendaries with Thought Steals and Mind Visions. And then he beat me. It was awesome. So in honor of him, I named it his screen name.
Okay, cool.
That's the name. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to... We're going to look at some of the... If any of the subs have more questions than... Save Your Life Game has a question. Do you think Harrison Jones will become very viable anytime soon? I think it's already entering the viability phase since I've been seeing it a lot, like more and more every day that I play.
What are the formats like, Trump, that you guys are playing competitively? How are they laid out?
Oh, it's very similar. It's
pretty much the same.
It's the format that you have just described. King of the Hill style, both blind pick a deck, then winner's deck stays. Usually both players have prepared some mad decks, maybe best of 5.
Yeah, depending on how big the tournament is, too. If it's like a 16-man, 8-man, then it's probably best of 5 every round. But if it's bigger, then it's best of 3 all the way up to, you know, wherever they feel like changing it to best of 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in that meta game, Harrison Jones will, yes, be very viable. I think you could put it in 3 decks comfortably at some point of your 5, which I think means very viable in that meta game. I don't know. I think there could be enough Hunter, it seems good against Hunter in some decks. I mean, you know, getting, because they do that play where they play bow and then play a trap and then you proc the trap.
Yeah.
And then if you get that too, that's a big deal. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a five slot too. You know, it's a five mana card too, which there's not that many great five mana kind of classes. So, you know, it definitely can fill that slot too. From the standpoint of the mana curve. All right, let's take a look at what we got on Reddit here. Okay, so Zage, the top kind of top voted one. Hero powers seem oppressively powerful to me as a former MTG player. I think if they cost three, they should still be used as a mana sink, but they would be a lot less stifling. So my actual question, how do you guys feel about the power of hero powers? Not in relation to each other, but in the game as a whole. This you guys made a comment about just you like it. Now, that's one of the things you like about Hearthstone, right? So I don't know. Anything to add, I guess, to that power that question?
Me to go?
Yeah, go for it, Gabe.
They're actually in relation to how much mana we receive throughout the game, I think really balanced. Mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then several tens. Not often that many, even in really long games. 2 mana is a good number for that total number of mana that we receive to use that thing 6, 7 times. And have some significant effect on the game.
Yeah.
And I think at making it more expensive would make it significantly worse to the point where it would be almost a last resort instead of something that you want to try to get value of so you use it more often.
Yeah.
And I don't like that change. I like the change from Magic. I'm tired of the exact same thing over and over and over. That's what Magic feels like to me. I mean, it just feels very redundant. There isn't that much nuance and different diversity now compared to, you know, it's like a 3-3, a giant growth, a shock, draw 2 for 3 mana. You know, it's all very close iterations, and the hero powers change that, and I think that's really neat. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Trump,
what do you think?
You think the mana cost for hero powers are appropriate right now?
Yeah, they're very appropriate, mm-hmm. And I don't. In future expansions, like if they were to introduce new heroes with the mana hero powers of like 1 or 3, like those would be different, and I could see that happening also. But for these base heroes, 2 is a good number. And if you think it's too powerful, like if you try to use your hero power every single turn of the game, you'll probably lose. So it's definitely not too powerful. It's just meant to smooth things out, and then. I like what Gabe said, they do provide some flavor, like you use it a few times every game so you represent your class sort of, and it's a skill to know when to play a card versus using the hero ability as well, so it makes games a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with maybe 2 more here, and Liertus asks for the G-Walls. How many viewers are you willing to sacrifice to continue playing Disney music on your stream?
As many as it takes to let it go. The Frozen soundtrack, all right. 101.
Oh, you're playing the Frozen soundtrack. All right.
It's Pandora. It's Walt Disney's Pandora, The Lion King. And I just thumb up and thumb down a lot. There's Beatles. There's a lot of Frozen. There's a lot of Beauty and the Beast. There's a lot of Hallelujahs. I don't know.
Okay, all right. I know Trump has played some Disney music on his stream, too. What are your favorites, nice. Trump?
Yeah, I mean, when I heard from Gabe that he played Disney music, my respect for him went up, because Disney music is amazing.
Yeah.
Favorite That's song. Favorite song, Trump.
Man, there's so many ones. On, I can't pick one out, but one of my favorite ones, because it's different, and it's... weird for Disney is The Hunchback of Notre Dame's Hellfire, which I have sung on stream before.
Wow.
I don't remember that song.
I don't remember that song. I mean, obviously I've seen that movie, but I don't remember that song. Okay, I'm going to have to refresh my memory up on that one.
You'll just have to watch some Trump stream to get it. Exactly. He'll play it again.
Okay, last question. I'm trying to find a good one here. Let's go with. Okay, so this one, Star Wolf asked, "How do you guys feel about Abomination for countering aggro decks?" Which I've actually used and considered a lot in the past, but haven't done it recently. Thoughts on it, Trump? I'll let you go first, and then Gabe, you can get your comments afterwards.
I think it doesn't slow them down fast enough upon thinking about it. I think it's a little too slow.
Okay.
Yeah, I think 4 toughness doesn't get it done. And the 2 damage doesn't do enough because they can set up well. And it hurts you a lot, too. And I think cards like Tazingo do it a lot better, a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my friend Brent Caskell thought it was good. He just started playing, too. He was a good Magic player. And he tried it in Control Warrior against a lot of the aggro decks, but he was playing because he didn't have all the cards as an alternative to some other options. And it was pretty good. But if you have access to all the cards, I just don't think it's good enough. I just don't think it does the right things. You know, I don't think you want to deal 2 damage. You don't want to be taking damage. You only have 4 toughness. You got to pay 5 mana. I don't know. It just doesn't fit the bill for beating aggro, right?
Yeah. I think generally speaking, too, that it's a card that's probably, you know, when he does have success, he probably has success when he's a little bit ahead or maybe even on the board, but definitely ahead. You know, you can see playing A-Bomb and you know, being in a situation where you force them to have to take a very inefficient scenario there. But yeah, it definitely won't save you. Like, a Tazdingo can actually force a 2-for-1 sometimes, and I'm not sure A-Bomb can always do that, especially like a hunter. A hunter can just use like their bow and clear it potentially before even running one of their minions into it. Okay, well, I think that's going to be it for questions today. But why don't we wrap up the show and do some shout outs, thank yous, all that good stuff. Gabe, you're our guest today. It was awesome having you on. But you got any shout outs or thank yous you want to do?
Team Refuse. I have a team now. Check it out. Check out my stream. I stream every day. I have a lot of awesome people there.
What's your stream?
They're all ridiculous. Yes. I have a lot of fun. They're all, hello everyone. I'm sure you're all here watching. Trumpet, I managed to not talk any trash for beating Trump with a deck that he built called Die Gwals with the deck called Gwalox. I managed not to talk any trash the whole time. Are you guys proud of me? Thank you. We were civil. It's a lot of fun. You know, so there's that.
What?
Thanks for having me on. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to say. We had a fun match, and it was like I made a big story out of it because it was a lot of fun. And it was epic. The games were sweet. He built a deck called Dyke Walls. He was asking for it. So I found out I streamed it. I found out I had egg on my face at the beginning of the episode. It was ridiculous, but it was a lot of fun. Trump.
Trump goes second. Trump, you got any shout-outs or... Forget thank yous. Trash talking you want to do before you go. Nah.
Yeah, it was a fun match. The Die Gwals deck name was just to remind myself that I had built that deck specifically to counter Warlock Giants. That's all.
Good. It was sweet because what happened was my draw was like all 3/3s. Somehow out of nowhere.
Yeah, that really sucked.
Yeah, it was so awesome. It was lucky, everyone. That's why it's so sweet because it looks masterful. But really, I just played all my cards. I mean, I was playing around Ragnaros and Faceless, trying to, but I mean, I thought you didn't have. I thought you took out Flamestrike, is what I thought. That was in my head. I was like, I don't think he has Flamestrike in his deck. I think he overreacted and doesn't have Flamestrike. So I'm going to play a bunch of 3/3s. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. All right.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks very much. You guys are awesome. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Cool.
You know, anytime.
Cool. Trump, shout outs.
Yeah, so thanks for being on. Just a general announcement that right after the show, I'll be streaming more of my free-to-play Shaman and getting to Legendary. I mean, probably not today. Almost certainly not today, but
I'll be impressive, man.
Make some progress.
That'd be impressive if you got
14
there today.
Levels today.
Yeah, that would be serious.
Oh, it's like I'm already halfway there, right?
It's like what, 30 in a row or something like that. Maybe 40 and a 50 in a row, probably something crazy like that. That'd be amazing. Yeah, so check out these guys. Both of, you're gonna be both of you guys streaming. Actually, Gabe, you're streaming right after too. Yeah. Check out both of these guys right after, guys. But you know, again, big thanks to Gabe for coming on Trump as always, each and every week. Super fun. And guys, you can check out the VODs. They're gonna be up on YouTube.com/ChanManV. I'll link it real quick. Probably about 15-20 minutes after the show. So be sure to find those there. Any of the past episodes you can find there too. We've done 21 other episodes. If you missed any of those, with lots of great guests too, definitely check it out. And for me, Deck Wars tomorrow, guys. We got That's Admirable against Puffin. So check that out at 5 p.m. Eastern. Follow this channel too if you want to get notified when the stream goes live or the shows go live. It's a great way to do it. But
I'm going to have a poker superstar guest soon.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
A poker secret. Poker superstar or poker superstar?
He's won several million dollars.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. He only plays one month a year. He's so lazy. But he's going to come on and play Hearthstone with me. I wanted to say that.
Okay. Okay. That was cool, man. Well, definitely be looking
forward
to that, too.
Good luck, Trump. I want to come watch.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for Value Town this week. So for the G-Walls, Gabe, Trump, and myself, ChanManV, we will see you next time. Later.
Bye. The fan.